This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Okay, it is hour number four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. And, you know, with authority last night, the Mavericks announcing they are contenders for this NBA championship. How do you look at, you know, what they did against L.A.? But it snuck up on us. Not only did they beat the Lakers on the road, they beat Houston last week. They beat Denver the first week of the season with three big road wins. Are they a for real actual contender?
Lost to the Knicks twice. They're terrible.
At 877-881-1053. It would be very, very early in the team's development to become a contender this quickly. But how quick did Magic Johnson do it? How quick did Larry Bird do it?
And
look, they got busy.
Look at the league, though. Because most of the times there's this mountain, and sitting on the top of the mountain, or like in The Hobbit, when you're going in there and you got Smaug the Dragon guarding it, and the dragon is the Golden State Warriors. And all the sir, just, you know,
I'm lost. Sports. I had no idea you going.
Sports. So like normally it's who do you have to dethrone? And this year it's, I guess you have to dethrone a brand new pairing of two superstars?
Yeah, that's it.
Like normally the mountain that you have to climb is getting beat down by whatever the powers that be, the dynasty that was sitting there.
Yeah.
There's not one sitting there.
No, there's not. You know, and maybe the team yesterday in the Lakers, is LeBron James capable of playing with this level of intensity for 7 months? I don't know.
He probably doesn't want to, but
he hasn't broken down yet, so I don't know why we should bet against it. But last year around Christmas, he did have the groin or the hamstring pop up on him.
I know Anthony Davis didn't have his best game, but at times Anthony Davis looks unstoppable, and I know he is too. So they have two guys. If Anthony Davis is healthy, we've seen him in the playoffs almost average. I'd have to look back, but I mean, it was unbelievable numbers against Golden State early on, and I mean, he can be a guy that can carry you to a playoff series victory, and we know LeBron can carry you to NBA championship. So they do have the makings of players that have been there, done that. It's just a matter of what you're talking about, their health. Is how healthy is LeBron going to be after 82 games? How healthy is Anthony Davis going to be throughout the season? But they have a squad that looks like can win a championship. I think the Clippers are probably the best team in the NBA when it comes playoff time. But it was so impressive by the Mavs to get off to a bad start. Not that part was impressive. But to get down 15-5 in LA, crowds going nuts.
Luka did not play well in the first half.
No, and then all of a sudden to kind of rally in the second quarter to make it close, to fight and claw, and then in the third quarter to take over the game, and then in the fourth quarter to get up by 20. I was just like, wow, I thought for sure it was going to be opposite. After watching the first half, like, all right, we're only down by three, but this is in L.A., this is the Lakers, they're going to be the team to kind of really punch us here in the second half, and that's going to be okay. We're a team growing and learning.
But happened last week to the Clippers. But you chalk it up as a learning moment.
Son of a gun. We were the team that took it to the Lakers.
And we've been seeing Luka kind of take over games, but there was a few moments in the third quarter when Luka and Porzingis both had it together, and it made them look invincible. It really started to look like, oh, wow, you know, when you talk about spreading the court and hitting threes, but also rolling to the hoop on those pick and rolls, that looked like the kind of combination that could have its own reign of terror across the NBA. But I'll tell you, outside of the stars, Mike, the reason I'm believing now more than ever, we've been talking about their offense and how great it is. But hey, you know, this supporting cast was just leaving a lot to be desired. Well, in the last 2 weeks, you've had Tim Hardaway Jr. step up a lot. Justin Jackson was better yesterday. And DeLon Wright might have played his best game as a Mav yesterday, getting to the hoop, not turning it over, hitting threes. So my point would be, you don't have a great deep bench or anything like that, but you have a supporting cast that on any one night, because Luka's so good, you don't need three of them to be good. Just any night, one of you guys step up. And as soon as Rick identifies who has the hot hand or hopefully hot hands, boom, you guys get extra minutes. And yesterday it was obviously Wright in a big way.
Well, and Wright was great. And I put this before the game tweet out, and it was just about Tim Hardaway Jr. As there was a lot of hate coming in on Tim Hardaway Jr. that month of October and early on in November. But he's really turned it around, and being in the starting rotation seems to have gotten him to not force it so much. Coming off the bench, it was like, look, I'm going to be Vinny Johnson or whoever you want to talk about if that's too old school to mention
somebody.
See,
that's the genius of Rick. He'll find a role for you if you're just open-minded. Don't you think, Mike?
I do. And so he's like, all right, Seth Curry got six. So he's like, I'm going to put Tim Hardaway Jr. back in the rotation, starting rotation. And everything started clicking. And then this month of November, yesterday wasn't November because it would have brought his numbers down. He's 0-7 from the three-point line last night. But he averaged 14 points on 42% shooting from the three-point line, 43% shooting overall. He shoots a lot of three-pointers, so his numbers probably aren't going to change much from three-point shooting to field goal shooting. But all of a sudden, Tim Hardaway Jr. has become a nice starting two-guard. I'm not saying he's good or an all-star or anything close to that, but Tim Hardaway Jr. off to a slow start. Didn't get to play much last year with Luka because as soon as he got traded, he kind of got hurt and didn't play. So he's starting to figure out how to play with Luka and be an off-the-ball guy and when to shoot, which he does love shooting, but he was forcing it early on in the year, and now he's not forcing it as much. So Tim Hardaway Jr. is starting to take shape as a really nice player for the Mavericks.
Yeah, it's really interesting. We got a tweet here from Atolo. He was in Vegas last month and put $100 on the Mavs at 75-1.
That a boy.
Felipe, salute to you. They're now at 25-1. So he picked up some pretty good value. And I think their real chances are way better than 25-1 to get it done. Okay, practice report for the Cowboys here is we're back to work getting set to visit the Bears.
They tried hard. That's the first part. That's good. They tried hard in practice, so we got a chance.
Randy Cobb, he's ill. He had a DNP.
He didn't do much, did he, in that game?
No. Still swept daily fantasy, though, so it was all good.
Jeff Heath with the shoulder, he DNP'd. And Leighton and Antoine Wood still DNP. You have Thompson, Smith, Martin, and Lee limited, along with Lyle Collins and Michael Bennett. But Amari Cooper, a full participant. So that's good news, I guess. It seems weird.
It doesn't seem like he's healthy, but he's kind of like keeps practicing. Why
are you load managing during the game but having him do full practices at times during the rest of the week? That's an unsolved mystery to me right now. It's the number one unsolved mystery in Cowboys football. What's his real situation?
I'm with you because 3 weeks ago we started putting him in conversations as top three wide receiver, at least Gavin, I know you brought that to the table, but when we watch games that are, let's say, the New Orleans Saints, Michael Thomas doesn't sit out a series. He might have to sit out a play.
You can run all day.
Not like, hey, you need to just sit out, you know, this amount of plays to be effective in the game. And it's just interesting that the Cowboys are doing that with a guy that I believe they should pay whatever the market is on him to keep him on the team. I think he's very valuable to Dak's success.
Well, it's a great opportunity for the Cowboys to pull out of this funk. You know, you get an entire week to rest up for Chicago. I know the game is on the road, but I think if, between playing on short rest and having to play on the road, playing on the road would be the most advantageous. The Bears are not good, but they are coming off a win, and I like that. They beat Detroit 24-20.
A win where Trubisky played really well, which has been very rare for him this year.
I feel like those mediocre average teams are going up and down, and if you're coming off a win, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like it's more likely that they won't be as focused or play with as much of a sense of urgency.
You know, what's tough is Chicago Thursday night isn't really playing for anything but pride. It's almost impossible for them to make the playoffs. I know they'd have to win out the rest of the way, go 10-6 and hope for some tiebreakers, most likely. But the Cowboys aren't really playing for much either because the division is theirs. They just need to beat Philadelphia. Really, no other game matters. They can lose out, just beat Philadelphia, go 7-9, and most likely
you can make it easier, though. You could make it easier if you actually win the games leading up to Philly. You might have it already.
So I don't know. Yeah, I'm just saying, I don't know the motivation of the Cowboys. Win or lose, they're still going to be in first place. You know, they lose, so what? We're still in first place after the game's over.
Got to rest up week 17, you know. Get your bye somehow. So maybe they can take care of business. I don't know.
I have a big lack of faith in the Cowboys, and now 3 hours into the show, I'm going to pick him to beat the Bears because I'm not going to pick Mitch Trubisky to beat Dak Prescott. I'm not. But I won't be surprised if
Cowboys are favored. I think they're the better team. I think they will win. But I can't be certain. And I'll tell you what, the thing that bothers me the most right now is how weird this offense has gotten in recent weeks. Now I don't know going in if they're even going to get to 20. And last year they weren't good. I think they might be regressing kind of back to more of what they were last year, even though adding Frederick and having a better version of Gallup and a better version of Lyle Collins, it's not adding up. But I think that's just life in the NFL.
I'll give you some reasons for that at 540.
Okay.
How about that?
Because
I think the Cowboys offense is still good, and I think they can score plenty of points. The problem is going to be if the Bears play good defense, which the Bears can. The Bears can play good defense. The Cowboys' biggest problem this year is that every freaking week, the other team starts with 10 free yards.
To this day.
Every week, you start at the 25, they start at the 35. Every week.
Yeah, special teams brutal.
And if you can do that, if that happens where the Bears' defense plays well and your special teams don't play well and they average starting at the 38 and you average starting at the 22, then yeah, you're going to lose that football game.
I said this on Friday. Mike Adams, who I'm doing with Jared Sandler every week
you're
or so.
You're doing Mike Adams with Jared? Jared. With Jared.
Breaking news! Holy breaking crap, news! Dude.
What's the name of this?
Called Dwight Howard. I mean, no, it's
nice.
We go downstairs. We do it. It's called a podcast, but yeah, it's a video podcast about Rangers.
Podcast and chill.
Mike Adams is a huge Dallas Cowboy fan. We know it because we do things together.
like
he
golf.
He put on Twitter after he heard about the Michael Bennett really rallying and screaming at the guys to wake up pretty much and to sacrifice. He said the season defining game doesn't always have to come with a win. And so I think the hope from Mike Adams, because he's been on two championship somewhat teams with the Texas Rangers that went to the World Series, is it can be a loss where everybody actually wakes up. It doesn't have to be a win where you're like, okay, there it is. So what Mike Adams is hoping after Michael Bennett screaming in the locker room, he says, finally somebody steps up and becomes a leader in there. I bet the defense starts playing better, and I bet the offense follows suit. And so hopefully that from Mike Adams is actually what happens, is that loss, they actually have sleptwalked through 12 games this year and they find themselves still in first place, is that somebody woke them up and they can actually play good football.
Yeah, that's our hope, right, is that it's all possible in there. Because I do believe this talent is good enough to win this thing out, no problem, and win two or three games in the playoffs. I think they're that good. But, Jerry in good years will talk about your ability to have a defining win early, and then everything from that point forward flows with an upward trajectory, right?
And I thought the Cowboys had that when they beat Miami.
Yeah.
I thought they had that defining win.
Yeah, I think the opposite happened when they lost to the Jets. And I think the way they responded to that, yes, the way they've responded to adversity so far would make you think that they don't think it's that important, or they don't think it's really necessary for their legacy to take advantage of this opportunity.
Yeah, and that's where I'm glad we traded for Michael Bennett. If it's going to turn around, I will give Michael Bennett all the credit in the world for stepping up when nobody wanted to step up. Heck, Dak Prescott was hanging out with Cole Beasley.
It's hard to say something like that.
It's hard.
It is. Yeah. It's hard to get in there and address it, especially if you're the new guy, Mike. Can you ever imagine that?
No. And that's what's it. But he was like, I can't believe this. I can't believe what Michael Bennett is saying. I can't believe the talent in this room. And you guys just seem to sleepwalk through this whole thing.
What the hell is your problem? And that should be a massive sign for Jerry Jones that Jason Garrett isn't the guy. Either his message sucks or he's been here too long and the message has turned stale. Yeah. But he has no ability to keep this team playing hard.
No.
NHL odds, by the way, the Stars do have a better chance than the Mavericks at this point to win the championship. They're at 16-1.
Hockey players are really talented. I was watching – I had a really good Sunday sports day where I managed to watch everything, all the sports.
Nice work.
And when the Stars were up 2-1, I'm trying to scroll back through my Twitter timeline to get the name of the dude who – scored the second goal against him, but it was dumb. It was like puck goes off of Ben Bishop and it's in the air, and as a puck is in the air and a puck is flipping around and spinning and doing all this, he just reaches out backhand out of midair into the net, and then they lost in overtime. So you get a point, but it takes some talent to do some of those stupid things.
It is insane, dude. That's not hand-eye coordination.
Zach Parise, and I don't like him anymore because he scored on the Stars, and it was really, really good. There you go. There's 30 seconds on the Stars.
You talk about talent. All the defensive backs for the Cowboys every day at practice look at the wide receivers and go, how do you catch that thing?
Okay, the moment things got really good with Sean and RJ this morning when they were interviewing Jason Garrett, we'll take you live there next in the G-Bag Nation. It won't be live. It'll be tape recorded, but you get the point. Okay, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Awesome job once again by Sean and RJ today as they were interviewing Jason Garrett. And you want the tough questions. They reached back and got you some of that. Oh, it was fantastic. And we'll play you some of the highlights here in just a second. Talk about other stuff that was relevant here coming off the Jason Garrett interview, which you get Mondays at 8:30 here on The Fan. Segment's brought to you by Mark Rubin. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do what more Fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 800-LAWYERS. He'll stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. Our guy Mark Rubin, 800-LAWYERS, official lawyers of the TOLO, Rubin and Associates. There's not a lot of Jason Garrett interviews or press conferences that we would ever spend a moment recapping. But a man in potentially his final month of employment with the Cowboys, a team in crisis, it got incredibly interesting about 5 minutes in. If you want to go back on the radio.com rewind and just go listen to the whole thing, you could. And I wouldn't blame you for that because it's that outstanding.
Started, what, about 8:34, 8:35 a.m.?
Yeah, I think so. What are we going to do, Lucius? We're just going to cruise right into how it started here?
Yeah, just let it play for what okay. It is. Mm-hmm.
What has Jerry's public support meant to you?
Again, guys, I hate to keep answering the question the same way. We're focused on today. Any of this stuff outside of our building, we don't think very much about. We just lock in on what we need to do today to practice well. It's a Thursday practice. Had a good day yesterday and got to get back to work today.
Coach, we understand the consistency of the message. I've always said you really have nothing to lose disclosing anything publicly. It doesn't really help you guys at all. But for the sake of the fan base, who feels like they're at the end of their rope beyond frustration, can you give the fan base something tangible to give them more hope moving forward versus we just have to focus on today, we have to get better in all phases, something a little more tangible and real for them to hold on with the hope they have for this team?
Yeah, you know, the best players, the best coaches, the best teams I've been around just do a fantastic job staying locked in on what they need to do each day and each week. They take it one day at a time, and they focus on simply being their best. And hopefully that's tangible enough for people outside of our building. But if you look at the best people really in all walks of life, certainly in our sport, that's what they do. And our game is set up that way. It's one play at a time. And people say, oh, that's a cliche. It's not a cliche. If you've ever played a snap in the National Football League, that's how you have to approach it. The guy across from you is a good player, or else he wouldn't be there. The coaches across the field are good coaches, or they wouldn't be there. So you have to do everything you can to be your best on that play. When you have success on that play, you have to put that one behind you and do everything you can to be your best on the next play. And then it's the next series. It's the next quarter. It's the next half. It's the next game. So if that's not something that is sexy or seems boring to people who are not involved in pro football, I apologize for that. But what we're going to do is focus on what we need to do today. And then once we get to the game on Thursday night, we're going to focus on what we need to do on each play. And that's what the best players, the best teams do. And there are plenty of great examples that we can cite. When we play our best, we do that better than anybody else. And that's what we'll continue to focus on.
So, I appreciate Jason Garrett and I appreciate Sean coming back with that question. What do you say for the fans that want something more real and more tangible? And Jason gave his answer. I think the difference is there's 31 other coaches to compare him to. And it is super boring, even for people involved in football. There is somebody in the public eye on every team who is more of an open book than Jason Garrett is. And, 2 minutes earlier, he was asked, what are your main areas of focus to clean up? You always talk about cleaning up. But he said, well, we just got to get better in all three phases. So it's you don't have to give much away to just be a little bit more interesting and to give the...
That man's a dancing machine. Let me get a song while you talk. Let me get a song.
Okay. I actually...
just wish they'd get that Apollo guy. I forget his name that sweeps him.
The Sandman, get him out of there. Yeah, that'd be nice.
I actually admire that when they came with about the toughest question you could possibly ask, which was basically, things aren't going well. You could be fired soon. Please step out of character and give the fan base hope. That's basically what he was told, right?
Yeah.
And his answer was to speak for a longer period of time than normal, but to deliver his message, because that's who he is. Like, this is me. This is my philosophy, and this is what we believe in. And I'm sorry if that's not exciting to you, but this is me. It's what I believe, and it's what I want this team to believe. And if this team did believe what I'm saying day in and day out, we'd win a lot of games. But somewhere in there, it's not translating. Or this team would be 8-4 or 9-3. but you're 6-6 because somehow Monday through Saturday, your 53 guys are not managing to do that. Because his message is the right message. The Witten message, the secrets in the dirt, every play, like all of those things that sound corny, that is real life.
Yeah.
In New England, every day, they focus on every play. And if you F up that play, you'll probably get yanked out of there. And if you're a bad player, you'll get sent home. Kai Forbath misses an extra point, you won't be on my team anymore. They legitimately focus on the details of every play in this moment. Right. And it's the best way to do things.
Consequences for their actions. There's no Correct. Consequences for actions in Dallas. Miss as many field goals as you want.
Right.
Man, it's the holidays. I don't really care to try to adjust the kicking thing. I don't even want to bring people in to see because I got Thanksgiving. We play on Thanksgiving, which is awesome. Millions of eyes are on us, but I got things to do Friday and Saturday besides try out kickers. Hey, if Jason Witten would not be a starting player, I don't think, on the New England Patriots anymore. He might have won a championship or two on the New England Patriots that they didn't win. That's how great of a player Jason Witten used to be. But Bill Belichick would be like, look, realistically, in 2019, Jason Witten, I got guys that are better than you. So I'm not just going to keep playing you because you were a Hall of Fame player in your prime.
Yeah.
I mean, these are things where Jason Garrett won't look at the details, won't make adjustments when adjustments need to be made. He's just going to say, we have to out-execute. That's why you get a dude who can't play, get 7 sacks against your team, because he refuses to make adjustments during the game because he's not good enough to. His resume is awesome. Being a Princeton-educated person, being a backup quarterback on a championship team, having 8 years of experience as a backup quarterback in the NFL, being under Nick Saban for a year at Miami, these are all things on a resume
look
that
great.
They look great. He's going to interview great because he's going to sound really smart. The problem is he can't coach.
Yeah.
So now, after looking at the resume and hiring him, now I have to watch him do the job, and he's not good at it.
No, he's not very good at it, and I don't think he's good at communicating it. I mean, we kind of know that's not his real message because of the Amazon Prime show, you know? He has a lot more fire and personality. The way that he dumbs it down, I think, is insulting to the media and to the fans. You know, if you're going to get up there on a podium and communicate the team's message, you know, even if that is your message, you can communicate without sounding like you're darn near condescending, right? Because there's no answers in there. It's just back to the three phases. You know, there's the Travis Frederick way of doing things. And I don't mean for Jason Garrett to be his player or to not be himself. But the tone it strikes is giving you any detail is a waste of my time. You know, and as I'm listening to it, I'm like, you know, here's a guy that does not understand his customers. The reason he gets $5 or $6 million a year is the fans. And it's possible to give a little bit more without sabotaging your operation.
I don't think he can. I don't think he's educated enough in the game of football as a coach to do it.
Oh, wow. So going into the detail like Belichick was praised for last year.
I think he has a good idea of football, don't get me wrong. But I think when you ask him tough questions, I don't think he really has an answer, except we got to get better players. And we have to execute better. Yeah, what's the execution? Playing better.
Wow.
Well, no, like he has answers. Because like when we do a segment once a week where we're like, hey, what happened in the run game? And we go through play by play. Like, it's not like Jason Garrett can't do that. He doesn't want to give that to people. Like, he doesn't want to say Xavier Suafilos isn't good. He doesn't want to say Tyron had trouble with this guy. That's just not him. Like, he doesn't want to. And Amazon Prime, like in practice or in a meeting room, he probably does.
Yeah.
I think this is just what happens when you've been there long enough without the ultimate success. And somehow, you know, another thing that we've overlooked on this team is we give too much credit to the players that we call leaders of this team. I think we give way too much because what are they doing?
Watching Michael Bennett finally be a leader and then following.
Yeah, like your performances on Sunday are a reflection of how you prepared for this. This team doesn't prepare well enough. I think Dak does.
Well,
if you've got to dig off in somebody's bottom once a week to let them know about the way that you prepare, it should start at the top. But we give the players a lot of credit for leadership, too, and I don't know that they deserve it.
No, I think you got a good point there as far as handling adversity. But it is the naivete, I think, of young players. And I think these players are going to regret this for the rest of their lives, the opportunity they squandered thinking it would always be like this.
And I get that today is different than when I played or when my dad played and you didn't play NFL football. But to get your ass handed to you on Thursday, on Thanksgiving – and Dak and Cole Beasley are great friends. I have no problem with them being great friends. What I have a problem with is Cole Beasley's going to live in Dallas-Fort Worth the rest of his life, and probably so is Dak Prescott, and they can hang out and chill and talk to each other 100 times in 2020. Just in that year. You're on the field, like, and I get it. Like, this is me just being old school on this. There's no way you should be as the leader of the team, as the quarterback. So you can talk about his preparation, Jeff. But with him hanging out with Cole Beasley 20 minutes after the game on the field, and he has to walk into that locker room because Michael Bennett's already started because he's trading jerseys and hanging out with his buddy. I get it. He's your buddy. You love him. He can be your friend for life. But it didn't affect Dak at all. That loss had no effect on Dak. He was not upset that he played bad, at least after the game. He's like, yeah, it's cool, man. What are you doing? Hey, happy Thanksgiving. What are you doing tomorrow? How's your kids? I get it. Like, I mean, that's real life. But yeah. Time and place, dude. Yeah. Time and place.
That's why you're doing radio and they're doing
that's why you suck at hiring people.
I can't put myself in the player's stage of life, right? Because they're playing competitive sports at a much higher level for way longer. At some point, do the wins and losses just kind of smooth out? Because I would imagine having the same feeling that I have now losing a pickup game or a game of Monopoly. I hate losing. I don't want to talk to the people that beat me. Maybe in a couple of hours, but not right now, not right after losing. And I wonder if it's that affluenza thing that you've been talking about.
It is affluenza.
That things are so good around here for the Cowboys that they're like, yeah, we lost, but man, life's good.
Look at the way Ezekiel Elliott was at Ohio State his last year when they were defending national champs and they lost the game. And look at how he acted after they lost the game. And look at how he acts now after a game. It doesn't bug him. It's like, man, we lost. So what? I'm the highest paid running back in the NFL. I know he doesn't say that, but he's pretty much saying that. And Dak Prescott, he led a team. And I know they didn't win a national championship at Mississippi State. But that was a nothing school that goes 6-6 every year. And at one point, they had him number one in the country. When they lost to Alabama, maybe I need to watch. Maybe he hung out with the Alabama players for 20 minutes after the game, just having a great time after getting his butt kicked by Alabama. Maybe that's who he is. He's just always a positive guy. And Dak is a good quarterback and I think a good leader. But I think he really screwed up time and place when he's just like after getting their butts kicked and going to 6-6, like, I don't care, man. I'm hanging out with Cole Beasley for a while. I love this dude.
So did we get an answer on what's happening with the kicker, essentially? Did they bring some guys in?
Yeah, they tried guys out.
Nobody's better than Marr. Wow. Okay, when we come back, it's time for Jeff Cavanaugh to take the wheel of this broadcast. Where are we going with it?
All right, let's talk about the part of this team that's ruining Dak Prescott's party next.
Hey, check out Bill Dickinson's group of dealerships, DallasTruckWorld.com, Mesquite Mitsubishi at MyMitsu.com, and, of course, SouthwestKia.com, y'all.
Thank you, Lucius. Here he is, Jeff Cavanaugh, with something.
Yes, I do have something.
You got a little something, bro?
I got there something. He is. I got a little something.
That's my guy.
A little something.
It's all right.
Dallas Cowboys. I got a cowboy topic for you.
Okay, have at it.
What I want to talk about here is how there are multiple things going on in the Cowboys that are really ruining what was supposed to be a Dak Prescott party this year. So I want to start with something that we've talked about before and how the Cowboys always start in terrible field position. I was on Football Outsiders looking at their numbers this morning, and sure enough, they are 32nd in the league in starting field position. The Cowboys make it the hardest in the entire league to score points on their offense. That's what they do. The defense, the special teams, the everything about them. They set it up so it's like, all right, offense, enjoy having to go further than anyone else in the entire league every time you touch the ball. Ready? Party.
They want their teammates to earn it, you know, because you're more proud of it when you
Yeah. Who doesn't want to go 75 yards every single time? I actually believe they average starting behind the 25 because on punts and stuff like that where you get pinned back, I think they actually average starting on like the 23. They have the worst starting field position in the league.
And I bet the Raiders are good at it. Dang, Rich Bisaccia. Had to leave us for Gruden. He wanted
Ooh,
to
maybe
go.
I'll look that up.
Yeah. He was the man.
Okay.
He was very influential.
They also, right now, have the fourth fewest takeaways in the league. There are three teams in football that have taken away the ball less than the Dallas Cowboys. I don't have which ones they are in front of me, but just know the Cowboys don't take the football away. Now, that plays into field position, of course, but you don't take the ball away. Worst field position in the league. And then I want to go over to what we talk about a lot to try to measure an offense. The goal is to score points every time you have the ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our goal, score points.
Get it in there.
Baltimore leads the league in points per drive, and they're destroying everyone because they get good field position and they have the best offense in football, so they have the most points per drive in the league. The Dallas Cowboys are fourth on that list.
Not bad.
Now, compute that for a second. You start way back there, further than everybody. We got to go all the way down there to score. And we're fourth in the league, despite the fact that everyone in the league starts closer to the end zone and closer to field position than the Cowboys do, yet you're still fourth in points per drive.
I like it. I love it.
The offense is good.
I want some more of it.
It's great, even. It's Ooh. A great Ooh. Offense. Ooh. But the other parts of this team are ruining it for Dak.
Yeah.
So now what you get is this idea that it's like,
what are we at red zone? I don't feel like we're that good at that. And so I get it that we
I
have
bet
to
you're
go
probably
a long
right.
way, but I bet we're kind of league average or maybe slightly above league average. So I don't think we can put great on this offense if when they get inside the red zone, they can't finish it off.
I agree with your feeling on it. So I'm going to see if I can look it up on the fly, but I agree. I feel like they're not great in the red zone.
Use
so this is,
sense.
This is just going to give me percentage of scoring. Not, oh no, this is TD only. Yeah, they're middle of the league. They're right in the middle of the league in terms of how often they score a touchdown in the red zone. So that's part of it, but it's also calculated because points per drive, it's how many points do we score on average. So I just think with the fact that your kicker is the worst in football and your field position is the worst in football and your special teams are the worst in football and you're the fourth worst in the league at taking the ball away, if any other parts of your team were willing to help out, we wouldn't have to have this weird narrative of like, oh, the Cowboys have lost their identity and offensively they're lost. Offensively, they're really, really, really good. And everyone else is screwing it up. It was supposed to be a Dak party because now I saw this was kind of spurred because this morning.
Do you feel like the defense and special teams screwed them up Thursday?
I don't think the offense did its part Thursday. I don't think Dak was good enough Thursday. But my overall take on Dak for the season would still be when he gets his contract done and you tell me the number, I won't care what the number is because I know he's the guy. I know that that's the guy. That's kind of where this came from. I saw somebody ask me because I was asking, hey, what do you guys want me to do for my YouTube video today? And one of them was like, talk about how now there's nobody left in the world who thinks Dak's worth big money. And I was like, what? Like, that was your takeaway after one game?
Oh, yeah.
He didn't
Had a
play,
bad one.
On Friday, Chiafalo asked me, who are my top five quarterbacks in the next 5 years? And I put Mahomes 1, Russell Wilson still at 2, because I still think he has a good 5 years left in him.
You could put Watson then, ahead of Dak.
And then I put Watson and Lamar Jackson. And then I put Dak at 5. I said, look, he's still
right.
in the top 5 for me. It's not like Thursday ruined it for me, or I even had him really above those guys. Obviously, to start the year, Lamar Jackson wasn't in the conversation. But
yeah.
I still think over the next 5 years, he is going to be one of the better quarterbacks. I said, look, Trevor Lawrence can come in and ruin that in a hurry for us, but he's still really good. He had a bad game.
I mean, I think it's amazing that you could be fourth in the entire league on how many points you score per time that you touch the ball when your kicker misses field goals and you have to go further than everyone.
Yeah.
Like, where are you if you just make field goals? Are you second? If you have a decent kicker? All right. Now,
Let's and the Cowboys not, play for field goals a lot.
Yeah.
And going into halftime, they played for a field goal. They're like, we really hope we get a field goal, even though there's a touchdown opportunity.
That's a problem too. Yeah. But my takeaway from this is, hey guys, Dak's still really good. If that makes you feel better when he gets paid,
I'll take
don't
it.
Don't worry about it.
I love it.
In a quick college update, and we haven't mentioned this in a while, by the way, Chris Peterson, the Washington head coach, formerly of Boise State, he did indeed, res- well, resigned. He's stepping down after their bowl game. So is that on 105.3thefan.com? Because I can go so many different other directions.
Yeah, I was. Okay. But, you know, we have like five things up there. So if you wanted to hit it, you're good. We can do it now.
One other college note.
Now and later, Gators.
This should not be a surprise, but Jalen Reagor, the TCU wide receiver, he has declared for the NFL draft. He announced it today that he's going to go to the NFL, and he can announce it today because I believe TCU finished 5-7, so their season's over. I don't think they'll be playing in a bowl game. And he's interesting because before this year started, I wanted to use a first-round pick on him. And this year, he had 576 yards and 8 touchdowns. I'm sorry, that's backwards. 611 yards.
8 yards receiving and 576 touchdowns.
No, I read his freshman year.
Yeah, how did he do that?
No, so in his years
8 touchdowns
went,
per yard.
His years went 576 yards.
That's where you messed up.
1,100 yards, 600 yards. Because they couldn't get good QB play this year. So he'll be really interesting for draft purposes, but I still think he's a top 50 talent for sure, and maybe an end of the first round guy, Jalen Reagor from TCU, and he will be going to the NFL.
I think one of the things we should do in March or April is have Rod Marinelli really watch him and study him, and if he thinks he's good, he's off the board. But if he doesn't like him too much, then that means he could be quality.
I support the Rod Marinelli out of the draft room take 100%. In other news, a teacher in Round Rock. How does this story end? A teacher in Round Rock
with a 15-year-old,
and he or she, as the teacher, has really improved those young minds, and they are all going to college. 100% of the kids that have gone to that person's class has now gotten a college scholarship because they're such a great teacher.
You're partially right, Mike. This is Round Rock ISD's Secondary Teacher of the Year.
Nice job.
Who slept with a student.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so both of you were right.
As long as they just slept, it's okay.
Both of you were right. Well, it wasn't actual sleeping. She brought a kid to her classroom a couple of times.
What?
And I don't know how to say on the radio that she was helping him.
What that mouth do?
There. Yes. Why? Uh-huh. Yep. So the teacher of the year, 36-year-old, her name's Randy.
In Round Rock or the world?
Teacher of the year in Round Rock.
Okay.
Definitely in Round Rock right now. All the kids love her.
Yeah, she was the teacher of the year, and she's 36. Her name's Randy, and I think that she wouldn't have problems finding male suitors that were adults.
No, not at all.
I think she could do just fine with the adult community, but something about somebody there at Round Rock High School got her real fired up.
That's the biggest fall from grace since I won Courtesy Clerk of the Year at Thriftway. It was a grocery store, 16 years old.
How many Courtesy Clerks
did
they have?
And you stole beer and put it in Coke.
This was a regional award. This was a regional award. I was a badass clerk. Yeah, and then I stole beer. Got fired two weeks later.
How would you? You're an introvert.
I was just very polite. I hustled a lot. Yeah.
Okay. Congrats, man. Yeah. That's cool.
It was before I'd accepted the fact I was an introvert and thought, man, you've got to be outgoing.
Yeah. Wow, that's tough. Yeah.
I know.
So,
tough on my mental health, but it was good for the awards.
I don't know what hope we have when the teacher of the year is sleeping with students. What does that say about the rest of the teachers?
Did it say how she got caught? Did somebody snitch?
Yeah.
Kid was bragging.
It didn't say how it was discovered, but
somebody else knows and got jealous.
He admitted it. Yeah. He told on himself.
Hey, I'd have told on you if you'd been sleeping with Miss Fiscus in eighth grade. We got to put a stop to this.
Really?
No, I don't think I'd have told on
you. I was the same way with Miss Lampley. Yeah, if somebody were, I would have told on them.
Yeah, we had a guy in our high school that was getting down with a teacher. I was so jealous, stone jealous of him.
Yeah.
He's my best friend to this day.
Lock them both up.
And how old was the boy?
It doesn't say. But, you know, I'd like to think he was a senior.
Like, do you think it would?
About to turn 18.
Do you think women would stop? I mean, Gavin has brought this up. Do you think women teachers would stop if they got penalized as much as men teachers do for doing this to girls?
Probably not, because it didn't stop
the dudes.
Yeah, dudes still do it.
Yeah,
I mean, although you know what, I don't see nearly as many about the guys.
Like, this is now every story you have is more 80% is women teachers doing this.
I think it's sensational and they put them out a lot more. But I do see the dudes getting caught up in a lot.
Also, for you Instagrammers out there, if you guys are big into Instagram, we lost a celebrity cat. Lil Bub is dead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Lil Bub had 2.3 million Instagram followers and 3 million Facebook followers. Lil Bub had some medical issues. Mm-hmm. It was he or she was the runt of the litter, had the dwarfism, stayed kitten-sized its whole life.
Oh, how cute.
Awesome. And had a thing that made its tongue stick out at all times.
Okay.
Yeah, so Lil Bub got famous on the internet, and Lil Bub's dead.
Man, it's a tough weekend for Lil Bub. My pug Harvey, he's 11 years old. He tried to fire out of his kennel, got his fingernail stuck, pulled it right out, starts spurting blood. So I wrangled him. I said, we're going up to the vet, and I looked at my fiance. I said, honey, he ain't coming back.
If this costs more than $150, it costs less than that. No, sir, you
he
will
was
not
real
do
lucky
that.
It came in at $130. But okay. No, I did think for a second the vet's going to take one look at him and be like, you know, he is getting to be that age. Because pugs age quickly.
Yeah, but I don't think they do that, man.
Yeah, I don't think that's what the vet does.
Your dog is old, bro.
Like, hey, my dog's bleeding from its paw. Well, he's kind of old. Want me to kill it?
Yeah, might as well put him down now.
He's got other issues. I don't know. I guess
checking out our adoption situation here.
What in the hell? Yeah,
but I did. I brought him home. He sprung to life when we got there. He's like the laziest old man, but we got there. He wanted to fight every dog in the lobby.
He just wanted to show that he had some life in him. Like, oh, I know what this is. Wait a minute.
He's been around a while.
I feel good, boss. Look at me, boss. I'm good. Look at me, bro.
Okay, what is on at 105.3? TheFan.com, and does Dak Prescott believe Garrett's message is getting through? He's addressed that, and it's coming up next in the G-Bag Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.